This gospel reading is from the 24th chapter of Luke. On the first day of week at early dawn, the women came to the tomb taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners to be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words and returned from the tomb. They told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooped and looked in. He saw the linen clothes by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I may have never done this so far in the church, and so I'm going to read my sermon today. And just as a clue, I've been reading a lot of poetry, and so this is my poetic and prose expression of this gospel of Easter today. And it's called, all right, you know, maybe this part's not creative, it's called Resurrection. It's not a very exciting title, but that's what it's called. Resurrection, it always starts with a breath, one that makes us all move forward. With spices in hand and sadness of heart, Mary and Mary and Joanna and the rest, the woman at dawn came to finish the deed, the one we find in our creed. Jesus died and was buried. Not knowing what was to come, the surprise and the shock as they took the path to the Lord's final resting spot is what they thought. They were not prepared as they prepared to prepare the Master's body, the body of their Lord that had said, "It is finished." Their hope had been extinguished. A stone rolled away, a body not found, two men standing there, dazzling white, asking, "Why the frown?" What is not here is not lost. And what was dead, whose blood was shed, must now be found and is alive. He is risen. He is risen. So go where he has risen, they said. You cannot find the living among the dead. He has risen. He has risen. He has risen. Even though they all fled and left your Lord to die with a crown of thorns on his head, he has risen. He has risen. Follow his plan and go on ahead, so that the good news may be spread. That morning, they rushed back to the others, to the men, to share and tell what they saw, to say their amen. Amen means truly. Amen means truly, again and again. Truly I tell you, Jesus would say every now and then. The great amen, the great truth. And here it comes, the rest of the story. And now comes the so what. The tomb wasn't done as it undid what we did. It was Peter's turn to run to its mouth and to take a peek and listen and be undone. And he ran to see for himself. Could this be true? Can that cave be empty as my faith when the cock crowed? And when Peter ran, he remembered the plan, the one foretold, the one about Jesus that he would not withhold, even in death. The grace God gave to the world to embrace, fishing for people with the forgiveness of sins. Nobody will believe this, my Savior said, but with love, everyone wins. And then Peter stands, and we are at his side. There's plenty of room. The mouth of the den of death, Sheol, is wide. What can be held from an empty tomb? Only gloom, only sadness, only betrayal, only ruin. And yet, amen, amen, Peter knew better. He remembered what was told. He took a deep breath. A deep breath only the mouth can make. And recalled how the God of old breathed life into this world and into us. Who started as dirt, lifeless and cold. And behold, air and dirt and holy breath. Breath. Breathe. Speak. And God said it was very good. Peter then heard a voice deep in his soul, an echo in his heart. Trust and obey, because there's no other way. And again, I am reborn. This is the day. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This tomb is not death, not the last word. This tomb is God's womb that gives birth to love, a love that was stirred when the Word became flesh and the flesh became Word, with grace and forgiveness infused. And the Spirit, she concurred. God's love is for all, for God is not partial. And so was his Son. Jesus was for all. I see that now, said Peter. And he is for me, even when I didn't see it three times. And Jesus is for all, Peter would later proclaim. And we will read as a creed, Jesus is the judge of the living and the dead. And here's the so what. The judge of the living and the dead. That sounds kind of scary, and you're not off the hook. But that hook that seems scary is not so, according to our great book. You are on the hook, because we have to remember what the bedazzled ones told us, where to go and look. He is among the living, not the dead. He is risen. He is risen. Go to where he said, go and meet him. You will see. You will see. He is not dead. Then Peter thought about the time on the mountain when the teacher had said, well, it was really Jesus math. And the math implied forgiving 70 times 7 is always greater than 3 times denied. You cannot out-sin my forgiveness, no matter how much you've tried. And he was reminded of a saying, or was it a song? Jesus said to Peter, who denied? And when you denied and you cried, it was for those tears that I died. And in that empty space where he was all alone, and in that breath, he pondered these things and let out a sigh and a moan and a groan. How could he have shown 3 days before no backbone to condone the taking of the Prince of Peace, to dethrone his Messiah, our King, our Savior? How could he disown what was so well known? Jesus went about doing good and healing, for God was with him until he was alone with death, thrown behind a stone. And in that breath, surrounded by empty death, a flood of life bigger than Noah swallowed his despair, his strife. He remembered so much more of what Jesus had said. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. What Peter had thought was an idle tale became bigger than life. It became bigger than any fish tale, bigger than Jonah and the whale, older than the flood story. It was God's glory coming down. I am the vine and you are the branches. Remember me and remember forgiveness. Take this cup filled to the brim with overflowing new life. Drink, drink, take it all in. I pour my grace into you. I pour my life into you. I pour new life into you. I pour love into you. Drink, drink, drink. Take it all in. And then a flash, a memory, back on the road, one less traveled, except by Jesus. And if you dared to follow, Peter remembered the woman at the well, that outsider Samaritan, whom Jesus loved as he loved Peter. The truth of that moment, the abundance of that moment, the grace of that moment, living, living water, living water. Mm. Yeah. Living water. Every drink is new life. Every day, every moment, new life, a new beginning. Every moment forward is new. Every new breath, a new you. Jesus kept showing it to be true. Amen, amen, I say to you, follow me. Love your neighbor as yourself. Mercy looks like a good Samaritan. Finding, seeking what is lost. You are forgiven. Take a big drink of living water. You will have life anew. That's the so what. All of this in one breath. Especially a breath with our Creator God. All of this for Peter and you and me and the world. In one breath, Peter was forgiven. In one breath, love ignited his soul and his mind and his heart and his hands and his feet. In one breath, grace overpowered him like Mary. And an empty tomb of a soul was filled with a love that only comes from above. In one breath, Peter would later say, everyone who believes, and believe means trust. Everyone who trusts Jesus receives forgiveness. Why? Because we are judged by Jesus. And we are judged by him to be living. Only the living can drink in grace. Only the living can love and be loved. And Jesus is the judge of the living and the dead. And as Jesus died, so he now lives. And as Jesus died, so we now live. And Jesus is the judge and judges us as forgiven and forgiving. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And when you are free to love. And love is not a secondhand emotion, although it can be. And love is not a battlefield, although it can be. And love is not all you need. Wait, they got that one right. And Peter took a second breath, a breath that said, I am ready to follow. A breath where he remembered that love is always available. Love is breath. Love is the breath of life. The breath of life gives new life. Breathe deep. Breathe deep. Breathe deep. It calms the soul and makes you whole. You breathe into faith, into that first step of trust. Faith is love that forgiveness brings. A love you can drink, living water, and taste and feel and touch and hold. Love comes from resurrection. Like the golden sun beaming through the shadows of the trees, about to burst forth their springtime revealing. That's the so what. Death has the last breath, and resurrection has the next and the last word, which is where it all began, which is where we all began, in the beginning. In the beginning, God moved, God spoke. God spoke into dirt. God breathed, and we breathed, and we breathed, and we died. And Jesus breathed, and Jesus loved, and we hung him on a tree, and he breathed his last, and he died. And then, right before Peter and the first witnesses got there, before white bedazzlement, God moved again. And this is mystery. And mystery is simply a transcendent story which speaks the truth. It was God's amen. God moved and spoke, and God spoke into Jesus and us who are dirt. God breathed, not just our first breath, but a preview. Try this out for size. God breathed a hint of the final life with the spirit of life. And like Peter and Mary and Mary and Joanna and Beth, Mary Ellen, and all of us, we can take a breath and breathe the Spirit and what's next. Our last breath is never what was, but what is next. Our last breath is never what was, but what is next. It is heaven over history. Heaven comes down to us and for us, just as Jesus came down to us and for us. God is breath and life and creator and beyond, as clear as love, as clear as a mother holding her child, or as clear as a child in the middle of the aisle, which is awesome. That's the kind of love to behold. It starts with the breath. And the next one is ours. So start breathing. And when we breathe, we bear witness. We remember what took place at the tomb with the apostles, the disciples, and the friends of Jesus. With all the saints, we proclaim Jesus is risen. Please stand. We all proclaim Jesus is risen. Say it with me. Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen, and we shall arise. Give God the glory. Alleluia. Amen.